So today I will talk about, sorry, today I will talk about the operator dynamics and quantum chaos. I will discuss, introduce an approach called Brownian circuit technique. So this work is done with Tianci. We write a serious paper on it, and Tianci is like a current postdoctor in KITB, and also some work with Andreas. So before, this is the outline of this talk, and I will first introduce the definition of the operator dynamics, and I will discuss operator dynamics in several different kind of systems, and eventually I will briefly discuss operator entanglement entropy and the connection with random matrix physics. So we know that for the classical chaotic system, the chaos can be characterized by the separation of the like two nearby trajectories. This separation will like that as time evolves, will grow exponentially with the time. This like exponent lambda here is a classical Lyapunov exponent. This idea can be generalized to quantum system that we consider this out of time order correlator. And we use this to characterize the quantum chaos dynamics. And in some Najran system, this like out of time order correlator can grow exponentially with the time. And this growth rate is called quantum Lyapunov exponent. And on the other side, the quantum chaos can also be characterized by the like level repulsion statistics in the Hamiltonian, and also the and this has a connection with random matrix physics. So today I will focus on this like out of time order commutator, and so if we look at this commutator square of commutator, there's a one interesting operator, which is the Heisenberg operator, which is time dependent, and we will discuss the general property of this operator. And
So how do you get the Lyapunov exponent from there? You ask you fix a certain value of that commutator and ask it which time does it reach it, or
oh, you mean how to get this Lyapunov exponent, right?
Exactly, like
So for the classical system, like so that the separation of these two trajectories actually is proportional to the Poisson bracket. This Poisson bracket, like so you know, the quantum version is this commutator, and here we need to take a square of it, like yeah, to get the
No, I'm just wondering, do you say C has to be at least 0.1, and then you ask what's the time where it becomes 0.1,
Oh,
or?
you that's why we need to consider a Najran system, like to have a like you know to have a like you know like let's say the large enough time to see the exponential growth. And so in many systems, you know, chaotic system, so there may not be a well-defined Lyapunov regime. This regime is only well-defined in Najran system. And you will see that in the, I will give several examples. You will see that in some examples, you can see a well-defined Lyapunov regime. And in some models, there's no meaning to, you know, introduce this Lyapunov exponent. This Lyapunov exponent is actually characterizing the fast growth of this operator. So, and you will see the importance of Najran here later. Okay, so for we know that for quantum so for a quantum wave function, it can always be expanded in a linear combination of bases in the Hilbert space. A wave function can be written in this form. So this is also true for a quantum operator. So it can be treated as a wave function living in an operator Hilbert space. Like for operator is like defined in this way. It can always there's a like a one-to-one correspondence between this operator and this like a quantum state actually. So and this operator is living in this operator Hilbert space. This is doubled Hilbert space. And on a unitary time evolution, it can always be expanded in this way. And the coefficient here actually is subjected to this constraint. And the B here is a set of operator bases satisfying orthonormal like condition. And so the evolution of this coefficient actually determines the operator dynamics. So okay, so for in a chaotic system on a unitary time evolution, a simple operator like becomes increasingly complicated. The quantum like the size of operator like keep growing and eventually like it's got delocalized in the entirety of the space, and the quantum information encoded in this operator is delocalized. This is called the scrambling, and after sufficient long time evolution, that initial local operator will approach an entirely non-local random operator. So it's therefore in chaotic system, it's very hard to keep track of every coefficient like alpha here. So we actually, in this talk, I will talk about the emergent hydrodynamics in this chaotic system, and I will also talk about the development of random matrix physics in it. So there has been a lot of work actually on this emergent hydrodynamics to understand the operator growth. Today I will focus on these three models, the three types of interactions. So the first model I consider is this system with O2O interaction. And the one famous example is this selective Yeager-Kittel model, which has like four Fermion, like Majorana-Fermion interaction. As O2O interaction, the J here is a random, and this model actually is maximally chaotic and saturates the chaos bound at low temperature. So I will consider a similar like spin version, which is called two local qubit model. The Hamiltonian the interaction involves like two qubit, and the coefficient here is like we can take it to be like a random. So this two local model, so to understand the operator dynamics, I introduce a concept called the height of the operator. So for the systems composed of this one-half spins, a natural basis to choose is this polystring like operator. So here is one example like polystring operator, and the height of this polystring operator is actually the number of the non-identity operators in it. In this one example, you see that the height is equal to 6. This different column represent different like pony operators. There are four possibilities, that's x, sigma x, sigma y, and sigma z. And the final one is the identity operator. So once we have introduced the concept of operator height, we can further introduce another concept called the height distribution, which is a weighted sum of the bases with a like height equal to h. So this actually definition includes the explicit structure of the polystring operator and also the phase information. We don't care about the phase anymore. So here I show one example that for instance this operator is a superposition of these three bases. Of these three pony strings. So this distribution function is like this. So the operator, so this one has height equal to 2 and with like probability equal to 1/2, and this one is 1/4, and this one is also 1/4. So this is one simple example that, So now we move on to the chaotic system with these two local interactions. So the model I consider is this like Brownian version. The Brownian version can be understood in this way. So that the unitary evolution is generated in this way. So at each discrete time interval, we have a Hamiltonian H here. Actually, this two local Hamiltonian, and the coefficient here, delta B, is a Gaussian random variable. They have like O2O interactions, highly non-local model, and eventually let's take a delta T goes to zero. That's in the continuum continuum limit. This is called the Brownian version. And so, and this model actually, the nice property of this Brownian circuit is that there are many quantities you can compute it analytically. There have been some work on it along this direction. So we actually compute this, like in this model, we can compute this hard distribution analytically. So that so you find that the high distribution is can be determined by this master equation. So all the important information is encoded in this A matrix. So this F here is a high distribution function, and n plus one component vector, because H can be zero or n. So the A is a matrix. This is a tri-diagonal matrix. The rest of the elements is equal to zero. This non-zero diamonds elements are written here. It's like it tells us the reason there are only these three lines are non-zero is because the operator can either increase by one or remain the same or decrease by one at a discrete time. So at some time. So this equation actually has two static solutions, which actually satisfy this condition. So one solution is trivial. It's like OF is identity operator. It will not involve on a unitary time evolution. Another one is steady state. It's very interesting. It's TLS operator. It's a random superposition of this. All these Pony string bases.
So how do you get this master equation, or why do you get a master equation?
Oh, how did I get that? It's actually to compute this Heisenberg operator, and maybe after 2 slides, you will have a better understanding. I will show a simple, physical interpretation on how to get this physics. So right now I want to show that, you can get some high distribution function which satisfies this master equation. And then you can solve this master equation. Let's consider a large. So here this result is for any result, for any n, and actually you can, at any time, which is also another way to say it is take larger limit. That's why you see that the larger is important here. Then you can have a Lyapunov exponent. It's the only way defined in this limit. So that is the master equation is simplified, and this actual result is similar to that found in SYK model in the high temperature limit. So you can solve this master equation takes this form and right, this is.
Sorry, K is the height?
What?
K is the height?
K is a discrete version. K actually is a height. It can be from running from zero to n here. Yeah. So it's discrete version.
Oh, is this f of t related to the O-talk?
Oh, right. So from this distribution function, you can compute the mean height, right? The mean height is OTOC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mean height is OTOC, right? In this case, yeah. So you see that the mean height operator grow. So we are interested in this mean height. At any time, it grows exponentially with the time, the growth, and this exponent is actually the Lyapunov exponent. So remember for the previous master equation I showed you. In the last slide, in the continuous limit, we can compute the master equation can be written in this way. So starting from this master equation, we can compute the mean height. The first term is, notice that is the logistic differential equation. And the second term is characterizing the fluctuation. So if we throw away this term, this is a simple logistic differential equation, and at any time you will get this solution. And and this is some numerical results, at any time. You see that the SF function distribution function is exponentially decay. And also this is some simulation for the time evolution of the mean height. It first grows exponentially and then saturated to a constant. This like solid line is a numerical simulation, and the dashed line is a logistic function. The difference is coming from this term. So okay, so like let's say.
So I must have missed something. So how do you deal with n equal to 10,000?
N equal to what?
10,000. So n is the number.
N is the number of spin, actually. Yeah.
So do you apply an? Where is the average that allows you to simplify everything?
Right, right. So I think the reason you got confused is because for a quantum system like let's say you can only do simulation for maybe like 50 spins, right? And here the reason we can do this like a large number of spins is because we first map this problem, this quantum problem, to some classical master equation. For the classical master equation.
When you keep saying master equation, it's just this differential equation.
Differential equation, yeah.
This operator that is
right, for this differential equation, you can do whatever big set you can do, like easily do 1,000.
But this, you started with that Hamiltonian, or that this sequence of.
This is like unitary evolution, yes.
And that is a huge object.
That's a huge object.
And
yeah.
When that with this simplified description, you must have already applied some average.
We are averaged over the like randomness, disorder, to a disorder average.
So how does this work? So you have a unitary evolution.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
You average over unitary evolutions.
Average over the unitary evolution. And remember that so this is a Markov process. At each time, like let's say fix a time, it's like Hamiltonian is like this 2Q local model, and the coefficient in front of it is
there
random.
Some key trick that you play.
That yeah, this is a.
This average.
This is a yeah. This is a key trick that this is a Brownian, so that you have this Brownian like.
I understand that.
Yeah.
After applying the average, something simplifies. But how do you apply this average?
Apply this average, I think. So if let me show you on this one. So basically, you have this. We basically compute this, by brute force. You have this any operator, right? You apply this, like a Heisenberg operator. You will get some like a short time expansion. You will get some like this one and time delta t. We can compute it, this will give you some like new object, right? And there's a coefficient in front of it, it's random, right? And then like right, so this actually we take disorder average.
At this point.
So yeah.
Infinitesimally in time.
Right, and this is actually right, infinitesimal small time. And this actually so there's a so this maps to a this actually because it's a Brownian like a circuit maps to something called a Itô process. It's basically some very simple, but it's a little bit technical. But we can compute the operator growth in this language. The trick is that this at each time step like the Hamiltonian is random, like the coefficient is random. That's very important actually. Yeah. And so this is like a simple way to understand the operator growth. So the operator, like let's consider short time, like evolution. So the operator height increased by one. Let's consider one simple basis operator. So like the operator, the growth of the operator is coming from the commutator. Like means that Hamiltonian, the Hamiltonian is like it involves like a 2-qubit interaction. So the Hamiltonian, which does not compute these terms, 2-qubit terms, which do not compute with this like a Pauli string, will lead to the growth of this operator. So the number of the term which can change the height actually from h to h plus 1 is equal to 6h times n minus h. This is a very simple counting. And the transition time from h to h plus 1 is inversely proportional to the number of the terms. And this in the limit when h is much smaller than n is like 1 over h. So this is like some simple picture to understand it. You initially have a height equal to 1 and then 2, 3, 4, 5. You see that the time lead to the transition time actually scale as 1 over h here. So this is different from the system with local interaction. Later on, we'll see that actually this is a constant, basically. So the total time for the operator to grow is like sum of all these transition times from 1 to h. And this, and eventually, we can get this h as a function of t. So this is like some simple argument that and you can see that this is a logistic equation, which is the solution of this differential equation.
Sorry, what is h of t?
Oh, h of t. H is actually the mean height in the previous slide. The typical height. The typical height, I should say. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we should, that's what you want to look at, the way the mean develops.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, and this here I gave a simple argument for this previous, analytical calculation. Gave a physical picture for it, yeah.
Interesting, you could have a front of operators propagating with a weight of 1% very fast, right? And the rest doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Then the average is maybe not such a good value.
Okay, so that's why we here you see that we introduce this distribution, right? We need to know the distribution, right? Mm. Distribution is an exponential decay function. It has a well-defined typical height. Yeah.
And this you also get from this averaging assumption that
This is from the Brownian circuit, like this technique. Like you can get this mass equation, you solve this mass equation, you get this result.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So we know that it has some well-defined mean height. That's why, and then you use this argument. Yeah. Okay. So this is a system with O2O interaction. We see that operator grows exponentially fast. And let's move on to a system with local interaction. So similar to the previous model, a local operator will become increasingly non-local, and eventually will approach a random operator. The difference is that here the interaction is local. So we can still use this operator height distribution language. So notice that at each side there's only one spin. So the height is actually is zero between zero or one, actually either zero or one. So the mean height is between zero and one. We can consider this height distribution, which now is h here is a joint distribution, right? So from this height distribution, we can compute the mean height. Mean height right now is a function of x. So here I show one example that this operator is a superposition of these four pointing strings. So you see that at site 1, the mean height is equal to 1, site 2 is equal to this. This is one simple example. Yeah. So the mean height is varying between 0 and 1. Okay? So before we really do the computation, this is we can try to understand the physics behind it. So it's reasonable to assume that the coefficients alpha are universally distributed among the pointing string operator with the same length. So here I give you a zeros order approximation that is englobes the possible dispersion, and this mean height you see that is actually there's a domain wall structure with the endpoint here actually moving with a constant velocity. This is like a surface growth problem, and OTOC is the same as this mean height. Okay, so this is this front is sharp and with moving at a constant velocity. And of course, again we use this Brownian circuit and compute this joint distribution of the distribution function. It's a master equation. So let me explain to you what this master equation means. It's very simple. So imagine we only have two qubits now. The first qubit is pointing up. Let's look at the transition probability for the second spin. So if the, let's first consider Q equal to 2. Q here is like the on side Hilbert space. If it's 1/2 spin, Q is equal to 2. So for the second spin, if it is like pointing up, originally if it is pointing up, the rate for it to, probability for it to become a down spin is actually D. So the up and down here means what? Means that up is meaning that the height is equal to 1, and down is meaning that height is equal to 0, because we only have one spin at each side. So it's like an icing model. So if it is originally like it's pointing down, then the probability for it to flip is like 3D. So you see that like the rate is different. In the Q, we can take Q to infinity limit. This will simplify the problem that the probability for it to, if it originally is up, the probability for it to be flipped is 0. So, and this is a very simple like limit. Like in this limit, we consider initial condition like this. We put a 1 here at the first step with rest of them is equal to 0. The final steady state is like, it's like with all state, with all like side has like h equal to 1 actually. So, right. So let's look at the dynamics. So the endpoint actually, you see that endpoint in this, in both cases is like performing a biased random walk. And the length distribution of the h equal to 1 domain on the left side, the length of this domain is actually the distribution function is a moving Gaussian packet. And this like physics is same as like hard random circuit people have proposed. There have been like two groups of people that propose this one. And the mean height is a moving like is moving with a constant velocity, but with a front like broaden diffusively with a time actually. So okay. So here I summarize the physics, like these two different cases. One is this like O2O interaction. So the scrambling time is given as log n. And so if we put all these spins on a 1D chain with O2O interaction, you see that the height is uniform. It's grow from 0 to eventually to a saturation value, depending on Q actually here. So if we take Q into infinity, it's 1. So on the other hand, consider a system with local interaction. The scrambling time is proportional to the system size, since the front is moving with a constant velocity. There's a linear Nikon structure in it. And so we use this Brownian circuit technique to map a quantum operator dynamics to a classical stochastic problem. But we can, in these two limits, we can compute them analytically. So let's consider slightly more complicated case. That's the operator dynamics with non-range interaction between these qubits. And in the rest of the time, I will explain two things. One is the emergent Nikon behavior. Another is this mean height dynamics. So we expect something in between, like between the O2O and this like system with local interaction. Okay, so. So. Okay, so the master equation again is simple. That is, except that D here will be replaced by this like a Pavlov decay form with alpha here is controlling the Pavlov interaction. Right. And this model. Actually, this master equation is very similar to a classical spin glass model called a spin facilitated Fredrickson-Anderson model. And for this like master equation, since D is non-local here, it's hard to compute it analytically. So we will perform classical simulation for this problem. So, and the and the, so before we really do the calculation, let's try to understand physics. So the growth of this of this domain can is actually have two processes. One is the growth of this, you know, the endpoint will move to the right, and another part involves this non-local hopping due to this non-local interaction. So here, this is a one simulation. So for the initial condition is like h at the first at side equal to 1, the height is equal to 1 with rest of them equal to 0. So this is a one simple simulation. See that the growth involves two parts. One is this growth of the domain, another is this non-local hopping process. This is like, I think, 4,000 spins. And so the mean height is like let's say we perform this simulation for 1,000 times and then take average of it. That's the mean height. Okay, so let's study the formation. So we know that the system with local interaction, there's an emergent linear light cone. And so as we consider this power law interaction, the Nikon structure will change. When alpha is very small, which is close to this O2O interaction, there's no Nikon anymore. So it's flat. And this is actually the heat map for the mean height. So when alpha is small, but larger than 1, we see that there's an emergent log Nikon. This black line actually has a value equal to the half of the saturation value. So as we further increase alpha, this changes to a power law Nikon. And eventually when alpha is larger than 4, we found a very nice linear Nikon structure. There's a very similar to the system with local interaction. Let's look at the Nikon structure more carefully. And this actually is when alpha is between 1 and 2. We find that this is on a semi-log scale. We find that this is close to a straight line. This is like a log Nikon regime. And when alpha at between 2 and 4, it's like a power law Nikon regime. This is on a log scale. The exponent cosine here is changing from a value close to 0 and eventually saturated to 1 to a linear Nikon. So, and we can define the butterfly velocity in this system, which is in the system with local interaction, it is a constant and it's bounded by Lie-Robson velocity. However, in the system with power law interaction, the VB can either be a constant or grow. It's a constant when alpha is larger than 4, and it's power law. It has a power law scaling behavior when alpha is between 2 and 4, and the grow exponentially when alpha is between 1 and 2. So this result is consistent with the previous Lie-Robson bound calculation for the system with the power law interaction. So the Hastings and Karma first computed the bound for a system with local interaction. They found that the information propagation, there's an emergent log Nikon structure when alpha is larger than 1. And this Nikon is further improved by Gorshkov's group later on. They found that when alpha is larger than 2, that there could be a power law Nikon structure. Our result is consistent with their result. We further find that when alpha is larger than 4, there's a linear Nikon structure in this system. So, and we have discussed the Nikon structure. Now let's move on to discuss the explicit form of this mean height and all the OTOC, which is actually the function of x and t. So we consider the data collapse method, and we introduce this scaling argument. So meaning that we first move move on. We are interested in the regime close to the Nikon. That's why we use this x minus VBT and divided by this GT. This function is to describe the broadening of the front. So when alpha is not equal to 5, we find that GT is equal to square root of T gives a very nice data collapse result. This dash 9 is a complementary error function. And this solid 9 is like the numerical result. They collapse to the same 9. They are on the same 9. So suggesting that the physics is essentially the same as a system with local interaction when alpha is not. And if we look at the length distribution of the domain, we see that it is a moving Gaussian package. And this is also consistent with the system with local interactions. Okay, so and we decrease alpha a little bit, we find that this scaling argument still works. It's alpha equal to 4. However, we notice that the tail of the endpoint is non-Gaussian anymore. This non-Gaussian tail is due to this non-local interaction effect. And if we look at the h as a function of t, it finds that it will actually close to a like exponential growth here due to this non-Gaussian tail. This is found in our previous numerical calculation in this paper. So as we further decrease alpha, we can see that the endpoint distribution cannot be directly connected to the mean height. And the deviation is become more and more clear here. So as we further decrease alpha, we can still do the data collapse. And the g function here is a power function of t, but with b larger than 0.5. This is some data collapse result. And the most interesting regime is when alpha is between 2 and 3. So the data collapse result show that HG actually is a Pavlov-like function in both time and spatial directions. This is very similar to a critical system. B here is like a critical dynamical exponent. As we further decrease alpha to a value smaller than 2, so we found that H actually scale in this way. So it grow exponentially with the time and decay at the power law in the spatial direction. So, yeah. Okay. So the system I previously discussed is like a system with a small on-site Hilbert space. So let's consider a system with a larger limit, meaning that there are a number of like a qubit on each side. This is very similar to the SYK chain model. And in this model, we can see that operator dynamics has operator growth in two directions. One is in the local on-site Hilbert space. Another is this spatial direction. And we have discussed the dynamics for a single quantum dot with O2O interaction, which is described by this logistic differential equation. Once you consider coupling between spatial direction, you can naturally introduce this spatial diffusion. Like this plus this, where you can get a Fisher KPB equation, actually. This is from some like a simple argument. And for this equation, it is known that the front is a traveling waves, has a traveling wave solution and no dispersion. And if we consider finite n effect, it will cross over to diffusive wavefront at finite n. This part actually is done by this group, by Brian Swingold's group. They also use this Brownian circuit technique. So here is a Nodron system with local interaction. We can also further consider a Nodron system with a power law interaction. So notice that the only difference is this diffusion kernel is replaced by this power law kernel. And so we can solve this differential equation for the mean height numerically. And what we found that when alpha is very large, so there's a two Nikon behavior. First, we see a linear Nikon, and then it cross over to a log Nikon. So, and we further found that this log Nikon structures, like square as like alpha times log x, the butterfly velocity in this regime is linear, is independent of alpha. The transition time from linear to log Nikon occurs at the intersection x is like proportional to alpha times log x. And so this is the result for when like alpha is large. This is quite different from the system within a small limit. We never see this like two Nikon behavior. And we believe that this like behavior is unstable if we consider finite N effect. So here's a data collapse for like a different alpha. So when alpha is small, this is a mean height. It scales as a grow exponentially with the time and then decay at a power law in spatial direction. This is the same as a system with a small N limit. And this actually can be treated as a mean field theory for a small N limit. And when alpha is equal to very large, like any time, you will see that this Fisher KPP, like the behavior is the same as the Fisher KPP type equation. And it has a like linear Nikon structure, and also has a traveling wave solution. At that time, it's the same as the, at that time the scaling behavior is still the same, like as the same as a small alpha regime.
How can you understand that? It seems like your system has a definite range of the interactions, but it seems that as time progresses, you change from like having long range interaction to just short range.
I don't really have a clear understanding of it, but let me tell you some results I know. So one thing, this like two Nikon behavior, I think is coming from this large N effect. That this Pavlov interaction is always non-local actually. So remember there's a one movie, like I showed that there's a growth of the domain and this non-local hopping process. So in a small limit, when alpha is large, this non-local hopping process is suppressed, but it's always there. It's become important in the larger limit. And this two Nikon effect is only a artifact at large N limit. Once we consider finite N effect, we believe this net time, log Nikon will disappear when alpha is large. So, and this is some, observation. And mathematically, people have studied, this Fisher KPP type equation with this non-local kernel. They found that there's no stable linear like Nikon regime solution. It always goes, crossover to this regime. And this is there's some mathematical literature discussing this a similar equation with non-local kernel. Yeah. So finally, I want to briefly discuss the complexity of this operator growth. So initially, we know the initial operator is a very simple operator. And eventually, it will spread over the entire Hilbert space and become a random operator. Then how to understand it? Like we already discussed this like mean height, which is equivalent to this out of time order coordinator. There's another quantity we can look at is this operator entanglement entropy, actually. Yeah. Okay. So the operator entanglement entropy actually is measuring the, in this mean height language, is actually measuring the front of the mean height of the area of the in the subsystem. So in a system with local interaction, we actually did some numerical simulation for a small spin chain model with L equal to 14. This is a flocculated system. And then you see that the linear growth of this operator entanglement entropy is like, this is caused by this constant butterfly velocity. And this like operator entanglement entropy idea can be further generalized to a finite temperature. We introduce this finite temperature regulator and see that the slope is sensitive to the finite temperature.
Sorry, what is the state at?
Oh, this state. So as I mentioned before, that for any operator, for a quantum operator, you can treat it as a quantum wave function. So there's a like a one-to-one correspondence between any operator and like state. Yeah, both as the bra and the kit. Yeah.
So now this A and B, do I have to distinguish input legs and output legs?
Oh, so like A is actually is here, B is here. So it's we make a special cut here.
So I would treat all the legs of an operator input and output all as spatial.
As spatial, yeah. Just a double Hilbert space.
A and B arbitrarily.
A and B, right. Here we separate and like make a cut in spatial direction.
So
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily correspond to entanglement between input and output.
No, it's not that stuff. Yeah. It's that you can compute these all these quantities. Here we compute this operator entanglement entropy. It's just you make a spatial cut.
Both the input legs and output legs are split exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what I want to say, that you have quite big operator here, you have input. Yeah, this is say spatial direction. You make a cut here basically. And compute the A entanglement between A and B. Yeah.
I don't see how much entanglement you can create with this operator if you input half of entangled states locally, right? The other half, and then you apply the operator to measure how much entanglement that creates. So I would suspect it's the largest amount of entanglement you can create by applying that operator.
But if I cut this way, I guess I would always get loss of entanglement compared to this way.
Yeah, but let's say Ellis and Bob are coupled by that operator. Say Ellis and Bob are coupled by that operator, it's a unitary, right?
Oh, right.
Then you can say if they can apply this operator, can they use it to prepare entangled states? So if it's a swap operator, right? They could just use it to compare entangled states. And I suspect that's exactly what you should measure, right? It should measure exactly how much entanglement you can create if you can apply that operator between two parties.
Okay, I see.
I suspect.
Yeah. So in this language, this operator entanglement entropy is very easy to compute. Just basically the area of the front. Yeah, that's it. In the subsystem. So, and we can further look at the spectrum correlation in the reduced density matrix. So, that's here we can see the connection with random matrix physics. That is, this is a quantity called a spectrum form factor. And here, this lambda is the eigenvalue of the reduced density matrix of this operator. And initially we know that its operator is localized in B, and there's no entanglement, operator entanglement is zero, and then there's no spectrum correlation because as time evolves, we'll see that the top of the spectrum first develops the level repulsion statistics, and they don't spread over actually the entire system. Eventually, the operator will approach to a random operator, and the spectrum correlation can be described by this Wishart random matrix. Yeah. So this is how we see that the connection with random matrix physics in the operator dynamics. Okay, finally,
Is it necessary to look at an operator dynamics? Like, what if you just look at a state?
Yeah. Evolution? You can, it's actually similar. This is this is also true for a quantum state. For a subsystem reduced, for the reduced sentiment metric, you will see the, if you start with the product state, you will see the development of spectrum correlation in the reduced sentiment metrics. And it's also actually described by this Wishart random metrics also, yeah. So finally, I want to talk about one counter example. There's no operator spreading, actually. So consider a classical linear map. This is also has another name called Arnold's cat map. This map is defined in this way. So it's defined on a torus. Torus, and for each point, is labeled by Q and P. So and the evolution is defined in this way. A, B, C, D is a matrix, like signifying this is belong to SL2Z. And the for this map is classically chaotic. And the Lyapunov exponent is determined by the eigenvalue of this 2x2 matrix. So we can consider the quantum version, which is also defined on torus. Like here, we consider this matrix M equal to like this form. And the unitary evolution, this is like Floquet operator, is defined in this way. And under this U operator, a simple basis operator will evolve into another basis operator. But notice that there's no operator spreading. The motion of this, you know, of this operator is like determined by this classical dynamics. And so if we compute the like OTOC, you will see exponential growth, but it's not due to the, it's due to the like chaotic motion in the operator Hilbert space, but not due to the faster scrambling of this operator in Hilbert space. So if we look at the motion of the operator in the operator Hilbert space, this like four like blocks are like describing this operator dynamics of this quantum linear map. Initially start from here, after evolution become here, and then jump over here, and then here. It's performing the chaotic motion in this operator Hilbert space. However, we can further, you know, perturb this like quantum cat map slightly and introduce some deformation. And this system will become like truly like will become non-integrable and truly chaotic. And you'll see that there's an operator spreading. First is like spread a little bit, and eventually it's spread over the entire operator Hilbert space. Okay, here is a summary of the talk. So operator dynamics, so quantum operator dynamics, if we consider using this Brownian circuit technique, it can be simplified to a classical stochastic high growth model. And the phase information, like in this operator dynamics, is related with random matrix physics. And we consider operator high growth in these three kinds of different interactions. And in the power law interaction, consider the small n and larger n limit, have different like scaling behavior and like cone structure. And there are some possible future directions. One in this power law regime between 2 and 3. It's very close to a critical system. We hope to, we can analytically compute, do some combination in this regime. And another question is entanglement dynamics after quench in this power law interacting system. Finally, is the operator dynamics at a finite temperature. Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah. So,
like I know one so, of them is based on a Hamiltonian.
Right. So, for the physical, for the system with local interaction, they gave the same physics. mm-hmm. with no spin, one half spin chain.
Right.
They give the same physics. And my understanding is that this Brownian circuit technique is more powerful if we consider like system with, let's say, O2O or like non-local interaction, consider the operator dynamics, because this, like the model, like in the hard random circuit, like the local scrambling time is order one, but we consider this Brownian circuit like cluster model. Each cluster has a number of the like spin. There's a local scrambling time, which scale as a log n. So the dynamics is actually more interesting and in this like Brownian circuit like model, and in some like special limit goes back to random hard random circuit.
Yeah.
Right. So like for hard random circuit, it's very hard to consider system with power law interaction. Now because each qubit in the in hard random circuit, there's a like two qubit gate, like connecting two qubit. But however, in the, like at each time, like this, the like each like qubit can only have interaction with one qubit. But here in the system with, let's say, with power law interaction, each qubit can has in the interaction with, like, let's say, a number of the qubit here.
Yeah.
Right. That's the advantage of the Brownian circuit technique. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just thank you, Joe, again.